All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. And we've been encouraging each other to read a little book called The Gospel Primer. Perhaps some of you in your families have been reading that book. Quite short sections. Some of you love it, some of you find it a bit difficult, some of you haven't read it, or haven't read very many of them. I don't know where you're at with it, but what I do know is that the gospel is great, and it's great to be telling each other the gospel a lot, because we're always forgetting. We kind of know it, and then we forget it. And even though we might not forget kind of the facts, we forget what it means to us, so we're always forgetting it. So I'm really enjoying reading the Gospel Primer book, and I encourage you to keep going with it. Keep reading it in your families. Talk about it. Look at the references at the bottom and really think about it because it does us good. And this morning, we're continuing the series of picking up one or two of the themes that have been in our readings in the past week and talking about them. So that's what we're about this morning. It very much connects with that reading we took from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church and what he says about their salvation. And particularly, we're going to think this morning about our inheritance in the saints. Who likes getting presents? I kind of do. Depends what they are. But I passed a kind of a test this week, got the result of a test, and that was really nice. And I got some presents. I got a little bit of money. I got some chocolate cake, which is very nice. had it at a community group on Tuesday, and some of the ladies, I think, had it on Wednesday. So that was nice. And I got some white chocolate with raspberries in. Have you ever had that? I think it's Sainsbury's. White chocolate with raspberry, it's the best kind of white chocolate. It's got everything going for it. White chocolate, a little bit of sort of tanginess to it. That was a lovely present. Sometimes we get presents for achieving something, for doing something good. Sometimes we get them for marking an occasion, like, what might we get a present for? Yes? A birthday, yes? Anything else? Christmas, yeah. Kind of celebrating, marking an occasion, a bit of an achievement, another year gone by. Ephesians talks about God giving a great pile of presents. A bit like that pile of presents. A great stack of presents to Christians. They're not given because Christians passed a test. And they're not really given to mark an achievement like a birthday or winning a race. They're given because God is very, very generous. You see, these presents, they're not about something we've done in the past or something we're doing now or something we've achieved, but they're a gift. They're something that we don't deserve. They're because God is a God of love. In verse 13 of what we read, it says that it's for all those who believed the gospel. That means those who believed the good news. So they heard about Jesus, and lots of you have heard about Jesus many times. And they heard what Jesus did. They heard about his life and his miracles. They heard about his death. They heard about him coming back to life again. They heard an explanation of what all that meant. That it meant we could be friends with God because Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. He'd done away with our sin, got rid of it. They heard about that and they believed. They said, yes, it's true. And that's how they received the gift. They didn't do anything else good. All they did was believe. And having believed, it wasn't because, they achieved something. It's not supposed to show. There's various things we could achieve. Having believed, they were given all these blessings, described as all spiritual blessings. They're chosen, verse 3 and 4. They're loved. They're adopted into the family of God. They're officially part of God's family. They have God, the Holy Spirit, living in them from the moment they believed. They're given a new life. Their sins are forgiven. They don't owe God anymore for their sins. God's not going to punish them anymore for their sins. They're friends with God. They've got all these gifts because they believe the gospel. And as well as being described as a gift, it's also described as an inheritance, which is a bit of a long word. Do any of you slightly older young people know what an inheritance is? Looking at slightly older young people, anyone know what an inheritance is? Do you know? Go on then, have a go.
Is it when you get something?
It is when you get something.
From someone else?
Yeah. It's when you get something from someone else. Anyone want to add a bit to that? Who might know any children? It's kind of when you get something from someone else as a sort of a gift, but it's often a word we use for when you get something when somebody dies and they kind of pass on their wealth to you, all their sort of money and houses and all that kind of thing. It's what mothers and fathers give to their children. Some of you have a long wait. But it's what mothers and fathers give to their children. Sometimes when they die, they give over some of the money, or they give over their house or something like that. That's what we use the word inheritance for. And the thing is, God gives us an inheritance. God gives over to us loads of property and wealth and stuff because he's really generous. And it's like our inheritance because we've sort of got it now, but it's sort of in the future as well. So my children are everything to me. They're not all here this morning, so they won't all be crying. In fact, none of them are in this room this morning, so that's good. Oh, I could say anything now. But my children are everything to me, and when I die, and Caroline's dead too, I suppose they'll receive something of whatever's left, of whatever I've squandered. But of course I love them now, and I'm in relationship with them now, and I care for them now, and I give them now. But they've got to wait, perhaps, to receive all my money, and my house, and my iPhone, and my bicycle. They've got to wait. It's something that's slightly in the future for them. God has given us loads of blessings now, loads of blessings now, and he's given us the promise of even more blessings in the future. That's the inheritance that God gives us. That's the gift of the new inheritance. And you know, before we say anything else, it's worth asking, all of you really, have you inherited God's inheritance? How do you get the inheritance? Well, we just said, it's by believing the good news of the gospel. So the question really is, have you believed the good news of the gospel? Have you believed the good news about Jesus Christ? If you have, you've already inherited, and you will inherit even more. So have you? Some of you have heard about Jesus a lot, but you haven't really believed. You haven't really put your trust in him. So you say, yeah, I really believe this for me. And some of you really need to. And this morning is a great opportunity, before we do anything else, to say, Jesus, I really do believe the good news about you. And I really do want to follow you. And I really do want all those wonderful presents that you give to everyone who believes. Paul is really happy that the Ephesians believed. But he knows it's quite difficult. So in verse 15 of Ephesians 1, he prays that they'd be able to understand their glorious inheritance in the saints. Because he realizes it's quite hard to get your head around it all. And he prays that they'd really understand it. And we're going to think of just two other things to maybe help us understand a bit more about that inheritance. First of all, we're going to think about valuing my new home. All of us have got treasure. Excuse me. All of us have got treasure. It's not like we've got boxes full of gold, but all of us think something is really great, some prize, some achievement, getting rich, getting happy, getting in the team, getting a new phone, getting to big school, people stop being nasty to you at school, being really cool, everyone being friends with you. All of us have got something that we think is going to make us happy. And what the Bible says is, the thing that's your treasure should be what God's given you. What God's given you now and what God will give you in the future. That should be your treasure. Of course, it's nice to be cool. Wish I was. And it's nice to have friends who are not nasty to you. And it's nice to have a new phone. And it's nice to have celebrations. And it's nice to have enough money so we can have food to eat and we can go on trips and go on holidays. Those things are good. But they shouldn't be treasure. Like the thing that's really valuable. And it's really helpful to think, because of all that God's given us, the thing that we should really treasure is my new home. God's given us an inheritance that's so much better than any experience that we have here. It's a future with him and his family. And I know that my inheritance, I know that being part of God's family is better than every gift and every prize and all the money and all the experiences that I could go through. But it's sometimes really hard to believe it, isn't it? Just realised I've left something at home. But don't worry. No, you're right. Not yet. I'll have to do without that. Right. Imagine that you've been adopted into a really rich family. Just imagine you've been adopted into a really rich family. And imagine it's my family. And that my family is a really rich family. And I could show you a picture of my house. Do you want to see a picture of my house? You sure? Okay. There's a picture of my house. Because I'm a really rich owner. No. That's a picture of a little shed that's on my estate. You see, this is my house. It's a little cramped at times for me, but it'll do for now. This is my house. Any of you know where this house is? Yes? No, it's not Buckingham Palace. I was thinking of the adults, really, because... It's in Scotland, actually. But it was used as the film set for a particular show. I thought you'd like be shouting at me. No. Downton Abbey, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Children, just forget all that stuff. Just keep pretending that it's my house, because that will be cool. And let's suppose I want to give you a place in my house. So... I'm going to give you the keys to my house. And I'm going to give all of you the keys to my house, but I've only got one set here, but I'll get some more cut. And they're the keys so you can get in the main door. Sorry, that's this one like this. And then there's keys so you can get into your particular room. And it's a very nice key ring as well. It's got some Lego creatures on as well. So I could give you the keys to my house. Now, because I'm very generous, I'm also going to write out a check. For anybody who wants it.
Me.
Yeah, okay. So, what's your name? Nathan. Okay, Nathan Ventham. Okay, what should we say? 1 million or 2 million pounds?
2 million.
2 million pounds, okay. 2 million pounds only. Okay, how many noughts is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, and the date, I don't know, I never know what the date is. It's sometime in March 10th or something. Honestly, I never know what the date is. Ask Caroline. Okay, and there we go. Check for £2 million, it's been signed. Like that. There we go. So I've got a check for £2 million, and I've got the keys to my mansion. Now, you can have that. This is where my prop failed me. Anyone got a £20 note on them, actually? No? Okay. If anybody had... All right, just right, get a £20 note. Thank you very much. Really cool. Oh, phew. I'll take that for that church weekend you never paid for. Not enough, actually. And I've also got... there we go, there's the check. A £20 note. I was going to have to resort to just getting you to look at the picture, but there's a £20 note. So, here's the thing, and here's the choice. Well, if you really think about it, would you want the check and the keys, or would you rather have the £20 note? What would you want? What would you want? So quite a few of you want the £20 note. Why would you want the £20 note? I was thinking of giving it to someone responsible, but I can't find anybody. So I'll have to keep it here. Well, do you know, you want it, do you? The money or the mansion? The mansion? Oh, interesting. I reckon... most of us would choose the £20 note.
Yeah,
unless you really believed that I had a mansion and that you really believed that I could write you out a cheque for £2 million. And you see, that's the problem. In our lives, we find it hard... to believe that God's really got a mansion and he's given us the keys. And he's really got loads of wealth and he's put it in our bank account already. It's already ours. We can't spend perhaps all of it straight away, but it's really ours. The keys are really ours. The money is really ours. He has given us so much. But we keep looking at the £20 notes in life and thinking, I can see that and I can feel that and I can touch that and I can spend that right now. So maybe I'd rather have the £20 note. And that's why we need to keep telling each other the gospel, the good news about Jesus, because we need to keep remembering that our home is in heaven with God and with other Christians, and that our inheritance is not what our mums and dads might give us, and it's not what we're going to earn for ourselves here. Our treasure, the thing that's most valuable, is what we've got from God now and what we will get from God in the future. So we need to value our new home, our inheritance. I'm supposed to value it. We think about it a lot. We've always got it in our minds. We dream about it a lot. We've got emotion about it. We really want to be there in our hearts. And you know what? All the £20 notes that come along, we kind of hold on to them quite loosely. You know, we like them, we spend them, but we don't hold on to them really tightly. We just enjoy them because God gives them to us. But that's not where our treasure is. That's how we try to live. And we need to work harder at that. And I need you to help me work harder at that. I need you to talk to me about heaven and to talk to me about my inheritance. And when I get all worried about things in this life now, to say, do you realise your inheritance is not here? So stop worrying about those things here. Be so thankful for what God's given you. And we need to help each other to do that. Valuing our new home. But secondly, valuing our new family. Part of the gift, or the gifts that God gives us, is that he brings us into a new family. And I don't know if you read the chapter in Gospel Primer this week, but it talked about this particular phrase in Ephesians, which says, to understand your inheritance in the saints. It's a really interesting way of saying it. Now, he might be just talking about inheritance with the saints, but he doesn't quite say that. He says, your inheritance in the saints. There's a whole group of people, other Christians, who share with you this great gift. They've been given the gift from God as well. They've got the inheritance as well. They're going to the mansion as well. They've got £2 million in their bank account as well as you. So they've got the same future, so you share with them in that way. You've got something that's the same about them and you. But in a way, they're part of the inheritance. They're described in Ephesians, we're described, Christians are described as God's possession, and in other places, God's inheritance. That's amazing. God, who doesn't need anything, describes people like you and I, who believe the gospel, as his inheritance. So if you put that all together, you say, other Christians are part of my inheritance. They're part of my future. They're part of the glory of God. They're part of my wealth. It's amazing, isn't it? Other Christians are part of my inheritance. There's a phrase in the book that says, he gives us as gifts to one another. We are all players in each other's narrative, meaning in each other's story. Now think again about that great mansion. Now suppose I brought some really expensive vases, because it's a very big hall in that mansion, and I want to buy some stuff to put in the hall, you know, to put up as a sort of commemorative thing and as a sort of welcome thing as people go in the main entrance. So I brought a couple of quite precious looking vases. And you know, I paid a lot of money for both of them. In fact, I pretty much gave everything in order to get hold of these things. Now, how am I going to treat them? How am I going to treat them? How do you think I'm going to treat them? They're going to go in my new mansion. Not my new mansion, my mansion. I gave everything for them. How am I going to treat them? Well or badly? I think I'm going to treat them well, thank you. Has everyone kind of zoned out? Did I ramble on a bit too much in the last 5 minutes, so we're all lost? I think I'm going to treat them really well. But I wonder how my friend Mark's going to treat them. They're very precious to me, but my friend Mark's going to come up, and I'm going to give one of them to Mark, and because it's very precious to me, I'm going to... it's that one, that's right. This was very precious to me. It's a beautiful shape, it's going to look very good in the hall. So I'm going to give it to my friend Mark, and it's part of his inheritance too, you know, because he's one of those people that I'm quite happy to give the keys to and to write out a check for. And I'm going to give that to Mark, and because I value Mark as a friend, I'm also going to give him that too, just in case he needs it for any reason. Now, before Mark does that, it's a question, really. Is he going to value it, or isn't he? Is he going to value his inheritance, or is he going to despise his inheritance? Oh, he's going to take another look, just to make sure. So he's thought about it, like we're thinking about it this morning. But what do you think he's going to do? I've got a really worried feeling that he's not going to value it as much as he ought to, really. Oh, no! I think Mark ought to sit down now, don't you? Oh dear, this was really precious to me, and now it's just broken. Do you know what though? Just think about our inheritance, and think about the fact that other Christians are part of our inheritance. They're like a precious thing that's going to go in the great mansion. And it's on its way to the great mansion. And we can either cherish it and look after it, or we can smash it up. And when it comes to other Christians, sometimes we're nearly as bad as Mark was with the hammer. Sometimes we really, really don't value and cherish and look after other Christians. I know you don't do it. Do you know why? Because I know I don't do it. I know that sometimes we kind of despise them. Sometimes we look at them and we realize that, yeah, they are just cheap tat. And we don't really care if we smash them up. That's how we think sometimes about other Christians. And it's a really good thing to remember, not just our inheritance in the future, but to value our inheritance now, which includes other Christians. We've got lots of other benefits, But just thinking this morning about other Christians, a part of our inheritance. They share the same future, but also right now, they're the treasures, they're the wealth that God has given us to enjoy. So how are you going to value them and treasure them instead of smashing them up? I think we know how to smash them up, by being nasty and cruel and grumpy and ignoring people and looking down on people and not loving people and not caring for people. How are we going to value people in the Christian family? There's lots of Christian friends and family here this morning, aren't there? How are you going to love them? How are you going to realize that they're part of your story? You see, we're all mostly thinking about our own story. Here's my story, I'm on my way to heaven. Here's my faith, here's my family, and I'm on my way to heaven. We're not thinking, wow, we're part of this great inheritance. Here there's 100 or so people who are part of my story. Do you know what? You're part of my story, and I'm part of your story. And if we really thought about that, we'd value people. But not only are they part of our future, other Christians, and not only are they what we experience now, they are so precious to Jesus because he gave everything for them. We know that Jesus gave up his life for Christians, so they are so precious to Jesus. And when I think about that, I really want to treasure them, because I think if they're so precious to Jesus, they ought to be so precious to me. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that now? In a few minutes, when we're having coffee and tea and running around? How are we going to do that as the week starts? Are you going to listen when people are worried? Are you going to be a really good friend? Are you going to be pleased when people are happy? Are you going to be sad when other people are sad? Are you going to help them by telling them the gospel? Are you going to be a good friend to me by reminding me of my glorious inheritance because I keep forgetting? Are you going to forgive people when they make the same mistake, when they're really wrong, when they're hostile, when they're nasty? Are you going to be like Jesus, really treasuring other Christians? Are you going to want the best for them? Are you going to show them grace? Extend grace to them. Think about what would be best for them in this situation. Want their good, not want their submission. Want their good and want them to grow and to be more like Jesus. How much do you really value other Christians? So our inheritance is amazing. It's eternal life in the presence of God and other believers. We've got to value our new home and all the blessings God gives us now. And we've got to value other Christians. That's a really good set of things to think about this morning. My inheritance, my gift from God, is really mine now. It's in the bank. But the full experience of it is stored up for the future. Because of Christ's love, because of Christ's example, because I share the same future with other Christians, because I've been forgiven like they have, because they're part of my inheritance and my story, I want to treasure them, I want to love them, I want to serve them. And together, I want us all to become more like Jesus. Well, we're going to sing some songs to respond to that. Thank you so much for listening this morning. There's not going to be time for questions this morning, but I do have the bat phone here. So if anyone had a question, if you wanted to text it through, I'll make sure in some way it gets answered. If it's a simple one, I might answer it after we've sung, but otherwise I'll at least have a look at it and then inform us for future talks. So we're going to sing, first of all, a song that reminds us that we start at the cross and we end at the cross. We're always coming back to the cross, and it makes us right with God, but it also brings us into God's family. And that's going to follow on with a couple of other songs. So let's just do it. Lord, we have reflected in those songs on your great grace and mercy to us in Jesus. We thought that we want to join Paul in praising and glorifying you for your grace and mercy and for all you have given us, our inheritance, the Holy Spirit living in us now, and our fellow Christians. Lord, please may we value our new home, and please may we value our new family. Help us to do this. Help us to be more like Christ in this. And we pray it for his name's sake. Amen.